This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
Diddy to sell out Madison Square Garden over my cold dead body. I'm Nancy Grace. This is Crime Stories. I want to thank you for being with us. Guess what? Diddy doesn't like being behind bars. Where is Sean Combs right now?
He's in jail, Nancy Grace.
Oh, okay. So he didn't get off. And that's a very poor choice of words. So he didn't get off. He's behind bars. Madison Square Garden. That's a jolt to the system. Wait. Let me refresh that question to Rob Shooter joining us, former publicist for Sean Combs, PR guru, host of Naughty But Nice podcast at robshooter.substack.com. Did I get it all, Rob Shooter, or need I go on? He is still behind bars, right?
Yeah. Yes.
That's a yes, no.
Absolutely,
okay,
yes.
Okay, then how is he planning a sellout at Madison Square Garden?
In the world of Diddy, reality often isn't something that he considers. What he's talking about here is that when he finally can do this, he wants to do a big comeback show. And we should take credit here, Nancy. We broke this story 4 or 5 weeks ago on your show. On this show, we broke this story. Sources were telling me that he's planning a massive comeback. He thinks he has won this, Nancy. And when he finally can get out of jail, we don't know how long that's going to be, don't expect him to disappear. He's going to come back with a bang.
Okay, what I'm saying, Shooter, is that to appear at Madison Square Garden, you have to pre-plan. You have to get your show together. You've got to get your songs. You've got to get your backup. You've got to get your musicians. You've got to get your pyrotechnics or whatever you're going to do. And you have to get tickets out there. And he's actually doing it. Listen.
He said to me he's going to be back in Madison Square Garden.
Doing what?
I guess being on stage. You know? I mean, and I said, I'll be there. I mean, I want to be right in the front. So we'll see. We'll make it happen.
Sean Diddy Combs is apparently planning a resurrection tour, telling his attorneys he plans to eventually sell out Madison Square Garden again.
That's the defense attorney, Agnifilo, talking to our friends at CBS. And yes, I poo-pooed him when he was part of comparing Sean Combs to MLK and going on, hey, let's pull up that clip from him duking it out with Harvey Levin. It wasn't much of a duke fest because Levin was throwing him softballs, which he missed, by the way. But I gotta give the devil his due. He did get Diddy off on 3 of the 5 felony counts. And now he's back talking about selling out Madison Square Garden, joining me an all-star panel. But first, to Tisa Tells joining us, investigative reporter. She's the star of Tisa Tells on YouTube. Tisa, what?
Exactly, Nancy. What in the world? Listen, one funny thing that came out there is my sources are telling me that Diddy's team is putting it out there because he needs to prove to the public, to himself, and even to Trump to get that pardon, that he is still loved. The fact that his lawyer got on TV and said he's going to be on Madison Square Garden. Now, if you look at his record sales, if you look at his concert sales, if you look at the way his last album flopped, it's laughable. However, keep in mind, it was so laughable and oddly enough, it enraged the public and victims so much that Diddy's team the next day had to do a PR walk back saying, oh, no, maybe not Madison Square Garden. I think he's just going to focus on being a father to his children. And by children, I mean the 3 boys that are pushing 30 years old. And of course, the girls that are at a young age, but at 18 years old. Diddy's team is a little bit shaken at the way that he kind of thought that if he beat these charges, he was going to be walking back in and embraced by these open arms. Maybe his PR team PR'd a little bit too hard and Diddy started believing his own hype. But my sources are saying Diddy's team was shocked at the level of anger that Madison Square Garden actually invoked with the general public. You're in there telling us you're going to be the Martin Luther King of domestic violence and free everybody from their evil thoughts. You're saying you're going to make a difference. You're telling us you're repented. You're going to take time to think. And within what was it? Not even 14 business days. You've thrown all that out and you're sitting there bragging to everyone before the judge even has sentenced you that you're going to be up on Madison Square Garden. Again, a lot of people took that as a threat. And it looks like Diddy's team is trying to walk that back into something that looks more family friendly.
Okay, they may be doing that, but cat's out of the bag. Mm-hmm. They've already made it public. He plans to sell out MSG. To Dr. Bethany Marshall joining us, renowned psychoanalyst out of L.A., author of Deal Breaker on Amazon. You can see her on Peacock and find her at drbethanymarshall.com. Dr. Bethany, I'm going to go in a moment to Danny Pinter, who is with the National Center on Sex Exploitation, but it just rubs me the wrong way. All right? Yes, I know Agnifilo and his team got Diddy off on 3 charges. He's still convicted on 2 felonies. I know that. But I saw the Cassie Ventura tape. I know what the victim said. And there are many, many more victims that the state did not use. And that's on them. All right? I was told over and over as a trial lawyer, overkill, overkill. You're putting up too much evidence to get a conviction. How do you know that until after the trial? You have one swing at the ball, one bite of the apple. And if you don't go all the way, you could lose the case. I think there was a lot more victims. There were a lot more victims, and there was a lot more evidence they could have put up. They pared their case down, and now they're reaping what they sowed. That said, we know what the evidence is, Bethany. We know about all the civil lawsuits. Even if you throw out half of them, even if you throw out half, you've still got dozens and dozens of women that say they were drugged and raped at these parties, the freak-offs. I saw what happened to Cassie. I saw the bruises. I heard the stories of when one victim would vomit after being peddled to multiple male sex workers. He would put her right back into the freak-off, put on some makeup over those bruises, and get back in the ring. I know all that. And for him to be bragging he's going to sell out Madison Square Garden, it's offensive. It's offensive.
Nancy, and everybody who would attend that concert, I don't believe that concert will ever take place, would be somebody who does collude with sex trafficking. Who's going to show up at that concert? You know, the fact that P. Diddy is saying this means he has absolutely no remorse for his actions. The fact that Mark Agnifilo is going on TV and slow rolling the truth about Madison Square Gardens. I heard him talking to Harvey Levin and he said, Madison Square Gardens is way down the road. And now he's just going to focus on being with his children. It's just a big fat lie, Nancy. You know who Agnifilo is not mentioning? The victims. He actually said to Harvey Levin that Gina, the third victim, is now coming out and saying that she did not feel abused by P. Diddy. It is so laughable. It's like the lie is being perpetuated. And Nancy, the research shows that men,
Bethany,
who commit...
in just a few moments, I'm gonna explain the impact that Gina is having right now. And I've got her on tape complaining, as she should have, about being forced to have an abortion. At least one abortion. Isn't it odd how people change their tune? But that said, MSG, Madison Square Garden, bragging about headlining there at a sellout tour. To Danny Pinter joining me, VP, Director at Law Center, National Center Sex Exploitation. Danny, I remember trying rape cases. Many, many, many rape cases. And I guess I can throw child molestation into the same pot to stew. And I would sit there waiting on the verdict, feeling like if I got a not guilty, I would have let down these women who had already been through so much. Many of them beaten. A lot of times people would break in their home. Some of them were date rapes. I mean, there's just, you know, the whole gamut of ways a woman can be brutalized. And very often the same thing with child molestation. I would sit there waiting and, you know, putting on a brave face, thinking, yeah, if this goes bad, they're going to walk out of this courtroom and they will never have gotten justice, and it will be my fault, and they will go the rest of their lives feeling like nobody cared and nobody believed them. The women in this case already feel that way because of the three not guilties on three counts.
Absolutely.
MSG, Madison Square Garden, that's what he's bragging about?
It's so offensive. This is a narcissist who's been empowered by this unfortunately failed prosecution, right? He feels more powerful than ever. That's what it looks like to me. And it's so telling that it's turned right back around to me, 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 me. He thinks he can do anything. And he's showing absolutely no concern for the victims at all. And the fact that his lawyers aren't even in tune with how bad this is going to play for him, and he hasn't even gone to sentencing, is disturbing, to say the least.
I'm glad you said that. Hey, Judge, are you listening? Are you listening? All that BS, I'm talking directly to you, Judge, all that BS about how he's going to be an anti-domestic violence advocate, how he's going to spend more time with his children and start a new leaf, turn over a new leaf. What he's doing is planning a sellout tour at MSG. That's what's happening, Judge, in your backyard. Now let's see what you do at sentencing. Are you going to buy what he's selling in court with his grandpa Diddy look?
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
You know, to Rob Shooter, what Danny Pinter and Dr. Bethany Marshall said is a little scary, and I'll tell you why, Shooter, because it could happen. It's like the trial didn't happen, the attacks on Cassie, the attacks on all these women, the rapes, none of it happened. If he can go and star at MSG, it's like nothing mattered. Nothing mattered. Do you understand what I'm saying? I mean, I know you're all about PR, but think about these victims and rape victims all around the world. If they see Diddy up there at MSG on the stage, what does that mean?
It's heartbreaking, Nancy. You're absolutely right. And that's why people like you, me, the panel have to keep talking about this. This story's not over. Diddy won't allow this story to be over. For the rest of his life, we have to remind people of that Cassie tape. We have to speak out. We've lost the first round, Nancy. He is empowered. He is emboldened. He is not going away. But we have to think of these victims and other victims. But this garden, this Madison Square Garden, Nancy, my sources tell me, and we broke it on your show, not only is it happening, it is going to be massive. They predict it might be more than one night. There's going to be special guests on the lineup, including potentially Kanye West. Diddy is going to make a splash here. It's going to be really difficult for us to watch, but we have to because it is going to happen.
I mean, Troy Slayton joining me. Slayton, as much H-E-double-L as I give him, is a veteran trial lawyer. He's won a lot of cases. Do I like it? No. Is it true? Yes. He's a renowned L.A. criminal defense attorney. Slayton, just like you hear Shooter talking about PR and appearances, I'm sure you tell your clients when they go in court, at least act interested. Act like you're taking notes. Dress up as much as you can. Don't look like a slob. Don't look evil. Don't look menacing. And don't scare the jury with freaky looks. I'm sure you tell them all of that. Like, you know, look at the O.J. Simpson trial. Simpson looked like, you know, a male model sitting there taking notes, looking studious. I think he even got the Bible out. That said, isn't this kind of a bad look before sentencing, instead of talking about all the good things you're going to do when you get out to help other people, you're talking about a sellout tour to MSG?
Of course you want to explain all the mitigating factors to a judge, because that's what the judge is weighing at the time of sentencing. But is a person, once they've been convicted and done their time and gotten out of jail, are they supposed to just hide under a rock, or are they allowed to create art? He was an artist. There, I can think of other people that did horrible things. Woody Allen, Roman Polanski, others that did horrible things, maybe. And yet they still
John
are.
John Wayne
to
Gacy said he's an artist
art.
Too. Remember John Wayne Gacy? The killer clown? He says he's an artist. So does Jody Arias. So what?
But this was a failed prosecution.
It's an artist. My rear end, that means nothing.
Sometimes a jury gets it wrong, sometimes a jury gets it right. But that's our system. Just because a jury came out with a verdict that you don't like.
Oh, Lord, I ask you a question and you go off on the system. What's next? Are you going to spout out the Constitution? I asked you
a
bad look. He's supposed to be helping other people. Nobody said hide under a rock. And you said so when he gets out of jail. He's not out of jail.
If he's able to earn money, then he's able to better help the community, better help his family, better help others. I mean, he's even talked about wanting to be a sex victims counselor.
A sex victims counselor? Dr. Bethany Marshall, did you just hear that? That Sean Combs says he wants to be a sex victims counselor?
You know what, Nancy? That's
what
like
we do.
Jody,
give the sex victim a drink and say, down it, honey. And ignore the, GHB in it? I mean, that has everybody
this
lost
like,
their mind? A sex
this is
victim
like Casey,
counselor?
This is like Casey Anthony saying she's going to work on behalf of missing and exploited children. They try to get on the other side in a grandiose way of the crime and portray themselves as the savior. You know what I think is motivating this Madison Street Garden concert? It's a good way to procure victims. What better way to find future victims to accost, to attack, to sex traffic, to domestically abuse, than to throw a huge concert and send your minions out into the audience and find fans, find adoring fans. Nancy, he needs to put the band back together again in terms of his whole, he was accused of RICO. He's going to have a team that helps him throw this concert. And this team could be employed for all kinds of purposes, not just singing and holding a mic.
You know, I was earlier playing where the defense attorney Agnifilo was talking about Sean Combs appearing at Madison Square Garden. Yes, many underestimated him when he appeared on Harvey Levin's show on TMZ. And this is why. Listen.
They call them freak-offs. But, you know, back when I was a kid in the late 70s, they were called threesomes.
If these are genuinely threesomes, how do you explain 1,000 bottles of baby oil?
I don't know where the number 1,000 came.
The U.S. attorney said it.
I can't imagine it's thousands. I mean, you know, and I'm not really sure what the baby oil has to do with anything.
They're essentially saying it's a lubricant for an orgy.
I guess. I don't know what you need 1,000. One bottle of baby oil goes a long way. I don't know what you need 1,000 for. I mean, he has a big house. He buys in bulk. You know, I think they have Costco's and every place where he has a home. I mean, have you sat in a parking lot of a Costco and see what people walk out of there with?
Not 1,000 bottles of baby oil.
I don't think it was 1,000. I think it was. Let's just say it's a lot, okay?
That is from my friend Harvey Levin over at TMZ. Shooter, help me. Harvey Levin practically had to spell L-U-B-R-I-C-A-N-T, lubricant. And this is the guy that masterminded getting Sean Combs off 3 counts, I think.
Yeah,
maybe it was Tim Yergos. I find it really hard to give him credit.
Yeah, it's so shocking in life. This goes against everything that we believe in, that we work for. I used to believe that if you work really hard, if you're the best at what you do, then you win. This has turned that upside down. This clearly wasn't a pretty good defense. In fact, it was pretty terrible. But they managed to get rid of the three largest charges here. So there's something with us, Nancy. It's not them. We got this wrong.
Aside from his bumblings with Harvey Levin, this is what Agnifilo is saying now. And he's not the only one. Rob Shooter broke it here weeks ago about Madison Square Garden. Take a listen to Agnifilo speaking to CBS.
He said to me, he's going to be back in Madison Square Garden.
Doing what?
I guess being on stage, you know? I mean, and I said, I'll be there. I mean, I want to be right in the front. So we'll see. We'll make it happen.
Sean Diddy Combs is apparently planning a resurrection tour, telling his attorneys he plans to eventually sell out Madison Square Garden again.
From CBS.
He feels like a winner. It will prove to him what he thinks, which is he is above the law, that he is special, that he is a wizard. I think a lot of people should be worried. This is a very dangerous man. Did we not see...
Are you talking about me? So what, should I go hide in my super secret lair? Hide from Diddy? All that business about helping domestic assault victims, opening up a shelter, getting closer to his children that he has ignored for the last couple of decades. Yeah, forget all that. Now, Combs is focused on selling out Madison Square Garden. But along the way, he's whining. Listen.
Diddy whines about inhumane conditions at the MDC, claiming his meals consist of expired or maggot-infested food. His attorneys point out that conditions are unlikely to improve with recent budget cuts. Judge Subramanian counters Combs acknowledges MDC staff has met his needs and kept him safe. While he won't be released prior to sentencing, his next argument may be that he can serve out his sentence in his cushy Miami mansion, where numerous freak-offs took place.
So back to the scene of the crime. Joining me now, a special guest, Dr. Dwayne Hendricks, former warden, MDC, also Sheridan, Oregon, former senior warden, U.S. Department of Justice, Federal Bureau of Prisons. It goes on and on and on. President, New Daylight Foundation, and author, who are you? See it, say it, seize it. Dr. Hendricks, what say you about Sean Combs' claim, I don't like the food?
I say what I've been saying for the last 10 months. He just needs to be quiet. He needs to focus on his sentencing and all these different mixed messages from his attorneys about a pardon, about the conditions of the facility, about blaming the victims and all this other stuff. He just needs to focus on what's going to happen in front of him. You know, the thing that really pisses me off about all of this, if he really wants to make a difference, he really wants to take ownership of his actions, he needs to have some skin in the game. And he's not going to have any skin in the game until he is sentenced. That is the only time that he's really going to be able to say, okay, I did something, I'm going to do my time, whatever that is, and move on. And as far as him trying to do his time at home, it's not going to happen. He can only serve up to 10% of his sentence on home confinement. The only way that would change is if they give him a deal, sort of like they gave Ghislaine Maxwell, where they allowed her to go to a camp a couple of years ahead of her time, doing 10 years or 12 years at a camp versus 10. So in terms of the attorneys using low-hanging fruit that bears no nutrition, talking about box meals and sack meals with maggots. I'm going to tell you something right now. If someone served an inmate a meal with maggots, it would be criminal and more inmates would be complaining. And here's the other thing, and I'm going to leave it right here. Why is he not advocating for his other inmates in there? He's only talking about himself. Why is he talking about prison reform? If the meals are that bad, why don't he talk about prison reform other than just being an abuse counselor, which will never, ever happen.
Dr. Dwayne Hendricks, I believe you said, I'm going to leave it right there, but I know you're used to being the big warden at MDC. You're in Nancy Land now, and you're not going anywhere until I'm through with you. And I am not through with you because I want to follow up on something you said that had not occurred to me. And I can't believe Bethany Marshall hasn't been all over this, still saying he didn't do it instead of taking any responsibility at all. I will throw that to Bethany in a moment, but I want to follow up on this maggot-infested food claim. Now, Dr. Hendricks, isn't it true you're a former warden at M Mother D Dog C Capital, MDC in Brooklyn? Isn't that true?
Yes, it is true.
And isn't that where Sean Combs is now? The MDC, your former workplace, right?
Yes, ma'am. He is.
And he is accusing your workplace of serving maggot-infested food. Now, you said that would be a crime. And I got to tell you something. Dr. Hendricks, I've been in so many CIs, jails, youth facilities, juvie jails, halfway houses, rehabs. you name it, typically looking for witnesses. That said, I've seen the food. I've eaten the food. I never saw anything like that. And I've been in jails and CIs all over this country. Never have I seen anything like that. Explain what you meant when you said that would be criminal.
Okay, so a sack lunch, or what we call a box meal, when the operations have been shut down, whether it be through a COVID outbreak or an incident at the institution, we don't serve inmates hot meals. We give them box meal, what we call a sack lunch, which will be something like a bread, a processed meat, such as a bologna sandwich, or a cake, you know, in a bag or something like that, or maybe even a powdered drink, okay? However, and again, those are less than edible than the meals that they serve on a daily basis. But they, in no way, shape, or form will someone, an inmate, because the inmates serve the other inmates, there's no way another inmate will pass on a meal to another inmate with maggots in it. So, again, I've questioned some of our box meals in the past in terms of how edible they may or may not be. But in no way, shape, or form, a maggot will be ever served.
What do you mean by that? What do you mean you question the box meals in the past? What do you mean you question them? Look, I want him in jail. I don't want him to eat maggots, okay?
I understand that. Because and that's why they can only eat box meals for 3 days. After that, they have to have a hot meal. Because ultimately,
well, what's wrong with a box meal? What do you think was wrong? What, it just didn't taste good?
No, they have no nutritional value. And if you have a person in there with diabetes or any other chronic issues.
So suddenly, Dr. Hendricks, you're worried about nutritional value.
Yeah.
So your concern was the nutritional value. Mm-hmm. Do I have that right?
Uh-huh. You have that right. Yes,
okay. Have you ever seen what Sean Combs is describing, Dr. Hendricks?
Never. I've never seen a maggot or any worms or any other parasites crawling in a meal that is served in a prison. I have not.
Have you ever eaten the food, Hendricks?
Yes, I have. And as an executive staff member, we were charged with eating at least one meal during the week, whether it's during the lunch meal or if we're making rounds in the evenings on the weekends. And all the duty officers are charged with eating a meal.
Okay, and what was the meal? What did you eat?
So today they're having spaghetti. They're having what I call school pizza. You know, those little square pizzas we used to get in school. And then they'll have maybe a salad. And if they're on a no-flesh meal, they may just have like a peanut butter and jelly sandwich or some sort of protein, maybe beans or something like that, to make up for the nutritional value for those who don't eat meat.
Okay, now we're talking about vegetarians. So you have vegetarian meals too?
Yes, we have vegetarian meals for religious purposes.
Okay, Dr. Dwayne Hendricks, I'm going to ask you to go out on a limb. Sean Combs is saying he is getting maggot-infested food at your old work home, MDC. Is he lying?
He is lying. Unless I hear otherwise, he is lying, because there's no way inmates serve other inmates. You will never do that. And a staff member wouldn't allow that to happen, because, again, that would be criminal.
Okay. Between Sean Combs and Dr. Dwayne Hendricks, I think I'm going to go with Hendricks. Okay, straight out to Rob Shooter joining us, who practically lived with Sean Combs as his PR guru. Shooter, what would be Diddy's typical breakfast?
Ooh, Diddy for breakfast would have salmon, eggs. It would be very, very glamorous, maybe a little bit of caviar, maybe even some lobster. So he would eat very, very well throughout the day. It would all be prepared by a private chef. He had a private chef that lived with him. And also, too, he did enjoy going to restaurants. I very, very, very rarely saw him ever eat dinner at home. 5, 6, 7 nights a week, he would be at the top restaurants in New York City, Miami, and around the world.
I'm sorry, my brain froze at the word caviar. Could you repeat what Combs is used to having for breakfast?
Puff would eat the best, the most expensive, the most luxurious food in the world, including caviar that had probably been flown in, fresh salmon, often flown in from Alaska for him. He lived like a king, Nancy.
Wait. What, he got what from Alaska?
Fresh salmon would be flowing in from Alaska, fresh fish.
I'm sorry, they don't have that at Aldi's and Kroger, so I don't even know what you're talking about. Okay, fresh salmon flown in from Alaska for him to have for breakfast?
You better believe it, Nancy. His meat would be coming from Texas, the freshest food you can imagine, and he'd have a chef to prepare all this for him. He was not much of a cook. I never actually ever saw him in the kitchen. And so he had a chef, a full-time chef, that lived at his residence and would travel with him. I was on a private plane once with Puff, and the chef was on the plane when he flew from New York to Miami to LA. That's his plane. A chef would be on that plane. And also too, Nancy, they would serve fine dining on the plane. There was always a lot of food, good food around us.
Now Diddy's whining about his food. Boo the hey who.
Diddy playbook. Blaming the women, blaming the victims. This is as old as time.
The women's provoked him to violence. It's their fault. What, should they be behind bars and the choir boy walks free? Yes, his lawyers actually referred to him as a choir boy. Now he claims he's going to sell out MSG, Madison Square Garden. But whoa, wait a minute. Now, coming to Sean Combs' aid is a woman many of us know as victim number three. The woman that complained on air he forced her into an abortion and mistreated her. We can only ask ourselves, why the sudden turn? Why the bizarre change of coat? Why now speaking out to help get Sean Combs out of jail? I'm talking about the GF girlfriend, Gina.
Federal prosecutor star witness goes MIA. Their attempts to reach victim three and her attorney failed. The disappearance even more shocking, as prosecutors said victim three no longer wanted to testify.
TMZ reports the woman refusing to cooperate. Prosecutors said victim three would disclose very personal and explosive details concerning abuse she suffered under Combs.
And exactly who is Gina? Listen.
Gina is fashion and travel blogger Virginia Huynh. Her relationship with Diddy began on Valentine's Day after a chance meeting in Miami, and she continued to see Combs for about 5 years, deeply in love with him despite his relationship with Cassie. After their breakup in 2019, Gina gave an emotional interview detailing physical abuse from Combs in two instances where he pressured her into getting an abortion.
He was like, "You're going to get an abortion, right?" And then I was like, "I don't know. I don't know yet." And then he offered me $50,000 to get rid of it. He would always compare me to Cassie and tell me that I'm the bad one and she's the good one.
And he was with both of you guys at the same time.
Yeah. The only person that ever helped me was D-Rock. Everyone else just kind of just allowed it to happen and just like looked the other way.
That from our friends at Unwind with Tasha K on YouTube.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
Tisa tells there was the forced abortion, according to the GF girlfriend, Gina Huynh. And there is the statement, the only person that helped me was D-Rock. Everyone else kind of allowed it to happen. I assume that means the beatings and the abuse. So why the sudden screech of the brakes and the U-turn? Now she's actually writing letters and petitioning the judge to let Sean Combs out of jail.
Listen, nobody knows why she's doing it from, but the outside looking in, it seems pretty evident. A lot of people think it might have been a payoff, but my sources are saying that Gina will always be this man's fool. You know, you talk about the interview with Tasha K, and you talk about the abortion. This man that was a billionaire offered her $5,000 for an abortion. And you know what Gina's response was? She did it for free. And she was a single mother, and she did it on her own dime because she didn't want his money. She wanted to be the one to prove that out of all his women, his whole harem, she didn't want anything from him but his love. And he knew that, and he weighed over her shoulder. Gina Han, victim number three. As sad as it is, and I try not to be too judgmental because to me it seems like she is clearly in still the mental abuse, okay? But she was the linchpin that I believe made the prosecution's case fall apart. If you go back to that interview, she said exactly what Cassie said happened to her and also what James said happened to her. He was stomping, beating her, kicking her in the stomach. She couldn't breathe. She was begging him, please stop. Please stop. I can't breathe. He then, being such a gentleman, turned around and started wailing on her head and beating the mess out of her on her head. He was dragging her down halls by her hair. He was forcing her to get abortions, and Gina took all of it. She was dating a billionaire. She became a joke online, for those of you who don't know, where she was dancing in an apartment with dirty carpet as a single mom, trying to prove she was worthy. Cassie was always the good one. She was the bad one. Diddy pitted her against her. Gina is a tragic figure, but she's also an arrogant, foolish, ridiculous figure that has everybody so upset. Oddly enough, it seems like that letter to Judge Aaron might have backfired, because Judge Aaron himself said it doesn't matter what Gina, and this isn't a prior filing, it doesn't matter what Gina might have said to your defense. She also went online, and he referenced that Tasha K interview, and said the horrible things that you did. So again, Gina is in fool's territory. She has a lot of people mad, but again, she is coming out with an arrogant tone that has you scratching your head. And going back to Rob said, is Diddy a magician? What type of mind control? She went online, if you haven't seen the tweets, and said, you guys are sheeps. I've never been a follower, which is ironic because you are the epitome of mind control and follow. She called us goofies, said she's always going to be 10 toes down, and she's a real A-B, whatever that means. I don't think this means she is a real dummy. Again, trying hard to hold sympathy, and I'm sure
I'm just so stunned about the sudden about face, because I watched that interview with Tasha K over and over. She said a lot more, and the judge is right. Dr. Bethany Marshall, to see an abuse victim at that level of abuse suddenly turn coat, change the story, and beg the judge to let him out? Have you ever seen anything like it?
All the time, Nancy. Sadly, this is not uncommon with domestic violence victims. This is a very, very common thing. I remember sitting in the green room when all of Tiger Woods' girlfriends kept streaming in for all these shows on CNN and HLN. And I talked to all of them, and each one said the same thing. They said, you know, we knew there were other women. We knew he was married. We knew he wasn't going to give us anything at all, but we all thought we were going to be the special one. We all thought he was going to choose us instead of the other. You know, Nancy, we are wired for attachment. And for somebody like Gina, that idea of winning out over Cassie Ventura, of being supported financially, of winning over the love object, conquering him, turning him around, getting the love that she never had from him, that can be very intoxicating, like an aphrodisiac. So she went on all these shows complaining about what he did to her, but now she refuses to put her thoughts together about the reality of what happened. It's very frustrating, and I'm glad the judge sees right through it.
Sydney Sumner, I want to follow up on what Dr. Bethany is saying. Sydney Sumner joining us, Crime Stories investigative reporter. It seems like just yesterday, Sydney, that you and I were talking about Sean Combs trying to intimidate witnesses from behind bars. Do you remember those incidents? I mean, Gina, when... is a witness, an intended witness, although she didn't show up. Now, could you refresh my recollection, Sydney, about claims Sean Combs was intimidating and or trying to bribe, is such an ugly word, convince witnesses not to testify?
Absolutely. So we know from prosecutors that Diddy is accused of convincing other inmates to allow him to use their code to access the phone to call people, witnesses, that he was not supposed to be in contact with. So prosecutor star witnesses, Diddy was reaching out, pretending to be calling as another inmate in order to gain access to those individuals. So that was pretty crazy. And then beyond that, he also used his own phone number code, but would call one of his sons and then have one of them patch in one of those protected witnesses that he was not supposed to be contacting. And even before that, we know that he contacted a Danity Kane member. So this was just a few days after Don Richard came out and claimed that Diddy was abusive on the set of Making the Band. He contacted another Danity Kane member 200 times in 48 hours until she finally posted something publicly that said, I don't remember things going down like that. So Diddy is not opposed to reaching out to witnesses and getting them to say what he wants them to say, whether that's through money, threats. He's no stranger to witness tampering.
Rob Sheeter joining me at robsheeter.substack.com, former PR guru for Combs. Wow, what a coinkydink. Yeah. After watching Tasha Kaye's interview with Gina Hawin repeatedly and all the things she said happened to her at the hands of Sean Combs, now suddenly you turn about face and she's writing the judge a legal letter asking for Sean Combs to be freed? Huh. What do you think happened?
A couple of things here. First of all, I have great sympathy for her. I feel like she's a victim here who's been used, who's been played. If she's watching right now,
agree.
Let me talk to her. Gina, this is a terrible mistake. He does not care about you. He has never cared about you. And now trying to help him, he's not going to care once he doesn't need you. So it's a very dangerous game she's playing here. Also, too, there might be some financial aspect to this. Is he paying her rent? Is he going to help her out? Puffy can be very generous when he wants stuff. And I think as well, she loved him in a sick, perverted type of way that he encouraged. Now that the other ladies are gone from his life, maybe she thinks she can be his lead, his number one girlfriend. It's a tragic, tragic, tragic place that we're in here, and it's not going to end well.
And let me be clear, we have no evidence that a bribe or a threat occurred to make Gina Hawin change to make Gina Hawin write a legal letter to the judge. But again, Rob Sheeter, when you don't know a horse, look at his track record. He was already caught, according to reports, trying to convince, that's certainly putting perfume on the pig, a euphemism, trying to convince witnesses to either testify in his behalf or not testify. Okay?
Yeah,
he orchestrated the whole trial. And it worked. He got off on three counts.
It worked. I think what we can say here without any doubt is that the law doesn't apply to Diddy in his own mind. And so Diddy will do whatever it takes to get the result he wants. And if he has to talk to people to get letters, to get endorsements, he will do it. He will promise people the world. When he needs you, there is nobody more charming than Puff. When he doesn't need you, she ain't ever going to hear from him again.
Dr. Bethany, help me out here. Why would any woman in her right mind want to be first in the line of many? I mean, what? You're going to be queen of the victims? You're going to be the victim queen? All these women that want to be with Sean Combs? Why would you want that? I don't get it. And another thing, if you get Sean Combs, it's like a dog chasing a car. What do you do when you catch it?
That's right, Nancy. I think it's part of a cycle. I would imagine when she first met P. Diddy, he charmed her. He gave her gifts. He maybe financially supported her. And so she bonded with the charming P. Diddy. And then when he started to neglect and abuse her, she began to rationalize, well, that's not the real P. Diddy. The The real P. Diddy was the one who gave me the diamond ring and took me out to all that fine dining. And then when the neglect became more severe, she probably rationalized, well, he's just busy. He doesn't have time to call me. And then when he swoops in and manipulates her and says, you know what, baby, I know there's all these stories of other men, of other women, but you know what? Or other men too, Freudian slip. You know, baby, you're the most important one. That's like, oh my God, I am the most important one. We know that the P. Diddy's of these world are of this world are incredibly manipulative, and she might be one of these women who just allows herself to be manipulated because, in some way, she's a frustrating character and she's a sympathetic character all at the same time. Rob Shooter was right; we should have empathy for her. But Tisa Towles also saying she's in fool's land. We have to hold in tension both sides of Gina.
Madison Square Garden, my rear end. Troy Slayton actually thinks it's going to happen that Sean Combs, a.k.a. Diddy's going to sell out MSG. Okay, I'll be eating a dirt sandwich again if that happens. But Slayton, what do you do when a witness completely changes their tune? I'm talking about Gina Hohen.
You thank your lucky stars because she wrote to the judge that he's not a danger to the community, that all of his alleged violent acts were years and years ago, that she thinks he should be released on bail pending his sentencing in October. I think that she is a gift to the defense at this point because she's alleged to have been victim number three. And if one of the government's own victims is advocating for the defendant to be released, I think that that's a gift to the Diddy defense team.
Well, wait a minute. Wait. Tisa Towles, didn't the judge poo-poo the whole thing? Did he poo-poo her letter?
The judge poo-pooed the whole thing. Diddy tried to get the warrant thrown out a while ago, saying, Gina's on my side. Well, back then he referred towards victim number three, is on my side. What are you talking about? She says I'm a changed man. Judge Aaron literally wrote in his opinion, fine, she might be on your side now, and I'm paraphrasing, but she also said these things about you, and he distinctly referenced the Tasha K interview. So Judge Aaron is not fighting for it. I think Diddy might be doing this for a PR motive, saying the women have forgiven me. Who are we, the public, to stand in jury, judge, execution before him? Maybe that he thinks it's going to help him get back on Madison Square Garden. But at this point, it seems like it's the kitchen sink. Interestingly enough, that letter Gina wrote, if you actually read it, and I know you have, there was something very interesting in it. She said he stands accused of these crimes. She submitted it after he was convicted. Methinks that when Gina decided to go missing, and maybe money was found in her bank account, maybe not, Gina also wrote this letter in anticipation, and they decided now to submit it, thinking it will help. Again, interesting language. He stands accused, not convicted.
Well, you know what? Combs has other issues. He's got other fish to fry, including Al B. Shure accusing Sean Combs of having a hand in the death of Kim Porter. Listen.
In a now-deleted Instagram post, Kim Porter's ex and R&B singer Al B. Shure accuses the Diddy Machine of funding a large-scale social media campaign to silence his claims that otherwise healthy 47-year-old Porter did not die of pneumonia, but was murdered. Shure says at least 30 news outlets were paid to scrub hashtag Kim Porter from the media cycle, but he will not be dragged through the mud as an attention seeker or clout chaser for speaking out.
The truth of those claims remains to be seen, but I still say that the murder of Tupac Shakur ain't over yet. You hear me, Diddy? Nancy Grace signing off. Goodbye, friend. This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.